Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to this week's edition of The Golf Show. I am Mike Todorich. I'm your host. Here every Saturday from 7 to 8 a.m. We're in that little segment of the schedule that maybe leaves golfers a little ho-hum about what's going on and the events that are being played. This week, the PGA Tour is at the Sanderson Farms Championship in Jackson, Mississippi. Next week is the Shriners Hospitals for Children Open in Las Vegas. Then the CJ Cup at Shadow Creek in Las Vegas. Followed by the Zozo Championship at Sherwood, that's Thousand Oaks. That's where they played a couple of those made-for-TV. And it's also a chance for older guys who haven't been in the hunt in a long time to get in there. Guys like Keegan Bradley, for instance, who shot rounds of 66-65 and is 13 under par and has a two-shot lead going into Saturday's play. Enough said about that. It's funny, we're almost like marking time until mid-November and the weirdest Masters that we have seen, and no doubt the rest of the schedule has been weird as well. There were a couple players who a couple weeks ago actually went to Augusta for a couple days of practice, and they got some different reviews. The first day they played, it was 65. They played late that day, or late in the morning, early afternoon. It was gorgeous. Then they played the next day when it was 45 or 50 degrees in the morning. And said, they weren't real crazy about that. But I wonder if they realized they could very well, if they're in those early tee times in November, they could very well be playing in 45 degrees. Again, strange times that we are living in, all kinds of things happening, and we have a whole list of things that I'd like to talk about this morning. We have a couple good guests coming up later in the show, and we'll get to them. I saw this online this week, and this is one of those times I actually believe something that I've read online. This was a blurb that said, Golf Data Tech says August rounds were up 20.6% year over year. That's 10 million more rounds in August on top of the 17 million additional rounds in June and July. Every state increased at least 2%. Texas led the way with 39%, and they expect momentum to continue into the final quarter of the year. Excuse me. That kind of verifies the information that I've heard, around the Western Pennsylvania about how busy the public courses have been, how booked the clubs have been. It's awesome. It's great for the guys on the public side as they try to recoup some lost revenue. It's great for the clubs as well because they're not above needing money either. It's funny. We expected that there would be a big buildup of golf needing, I guess would be a good word, once we got the okay to play. Now, of course, we could have gotten that okay some time earlier, but we didn't. So these numbers would have been even better here. But from that standpoint, it's a good thing. A lot of people are pleased with what's going on. And the hope is that as we wind down now here, although October's a great month of the year to play golf, as we wind down, that momentum will continue not only through the final quarter, which really isn't relevant here, I don't think, but next year. If we are in a place in this pandemic when that we can go ahead and play from the start of the year, some of these places will be able to get back on their feet, and maybe golf will survive this. I wanted to take a minute here to to note important retirement in the golf business. For 20 years, Michelle Shaw has been the executive director of the Greater Pittsburgh Golf Course Superintendents Association, and she has done a great job for superintendents across the Pennsylvania area, the Greater Pittsburgh area. She is very well thought of in that industry, and she's going to retire from that position. And the general consensus is the association would not be where it is today without her. So we wish her well in her retirement. She's always been a very nice lady to deal with, and look forward to see what all happens down the road with the association. A couple things that I also saw, as we know, the state government, particularly the governor's office, has, pretty much according to everybody's opinion, has not handled this pandemic well, or as well as some might have expected. And that has filtered down into sports at all levels. We know the football games in Heinz Field are being done without fans. There's 50 indoor people, 250 outside. Then that's been, eliminated. Now you can have more. Then the governor comes back and says, we're going to have more updates on this. Well, you know, here we are. We're in the fourth week, I think, of the high school season. So if they don't make any kind of new ruling, you know, we'll be done with football season. But anyway, I got a tweet overnight from a gentleman in Erie, and it was the name on it was Hank Champ. And he says there's this crazy story going on up there. Two girls from Erie McDowell High School are leading the PIAA District 10 golf tournament by 16 and 18 strokes. McDowell shut down all sports earlier in the week, but made an exception for these two girls who are obviously talented. Now, after Friday's round, they've ruled again that it's shut down, and the girls at this point are not going to be allowed to continue in the tournament. Again, all this uncertainty, and I know it's a fluid situation. You know, look at football. Steelers can talk about that. There was a tweet from one of the young ladies who said she's going to be there at 8 o'clock this morning with her clubs, and she's planning on playing. So, another showdown. And, you know, if that's true, then that's as messy a situation as there is. If there's going to be a PIAA golf tournament, state finals, these two girls would seem to be a lock to be there. But now with District 10 shutting them down again, they may not have that opportunity. And with the timing of everything, there's not even an opportunity there for someone to file a lawsuit and get a stay or, you know, any of those things. Crazy. That's just the only way I can describe what we're going through is crazy. There's, you know, and I'm not the Lone Ranger. I understand that. Good news for a guy from our area, junior Mark Getz from Greensburg. He picked up a couple wins yesterday, and he plays for West Virginia University, and they were playing in the Big 12 match play tournament in Houston, and team-wise, the Mountaineers didn't do all that well. They lost to top-seeded Oklahoma 5-1-0, and the win came from Getz. He won his match 3-1. The Mountaineers in the afternoon picked up two victories, but fell to TCU 3-2-1, and again, one of the wins was another 3-1 win by Getz. Sean Kovich, the coach, said, "I thought Mark played outstanding all day, going undefeated versus Oklahoma and TCU. They will play again today." He's a guy who needs to be watched. He has a chance to go a ways this year in college golf. He had a great summer, and looks like it's going to be a great fall for him as well. A limited number of fans are going to be allowed at the Bermuda Championship later this month. That'll be the first time that there are any fans at a tour event since the PGA or the Players Championship back in March. They have had a couple pro-ams. the PGA Tour champions and the Korn Ferry Tour have had those. And, you know, they've been allowed to have a limited amount of fans at a PGA Champions Tour event earlier this year. So the tour needs those pro-ams because that's where they make money. They also need the ticket sales. So on that front, we seem to be moving toward a better place than we are right at this moment. What else? I think that was were the main ones that I wanted to talk about this morning, but I'm going to veer off golf for 1 second, well, maybe a little more than 1 second, but I don't know if you noticed, I think overnight, St. Louis Cardinals pitcher Bob Gibson passed away. He was 84, and he died from cancer. He was, in my mind, probably the most intimidating pitcher, certainly I ever saw. And you know, there are other opinions, I'm sure, but boy, oh boy, you didn't want to mess with him. And he was not above sticking a baseball in a guy's ribs if an opposing batter did something that he disagreed with. But I saw some numbers on him, and I wanted to share these with you because they're just phenomenal. In 1968, his last 24 starts were complete games. Think about that. He pitched 21 times on 3 days rest. In 18 of his 34 starts, he got 0, 1, or 2 runs of support and went 22-9. Imagine that. Now, I know the game was different, but I don't know that it was any easier back there. Back then, I mean. Gibson pitched 9 postseason games and went 7-2. Pitched 81 innings, had 92 strikeouts, allowed 55 hits, and a 1.89 ERA. You know, if ever there was a Hall of Fame pitcher, Bob Gibson was it. And, you know, Pirate fans, I think, will remember the game. I was much younger, of course. He faced Roberto Clemente, and Clemente lined a shot up the middle, and it hit Gibson in the leg. He kept playing and pitched a complete game with what turned out to be a broken leg. Tough as nails, that guy. Great competitor. And 2020 has taken a lot from us, and I think most of us will be really glad when 2020 is over. All right, it's time for our first break. We're going to do a 2020 update. We'll pay some bills, and when we come back, we'll welcome our first guest, and we'll have some fun with our two guests today. You're listening to The Golf Show right here on 93.7 The Fan.